Emery, you don't have to do this.
I'm sorry, but I do. For what it's worth, I'm glad you're safe.
Am I?
Greetings, Bucketheads. Mevar Tegar. Welcome to our 250th Escape from the Prison Planet episode of MandoVision. I am your host, Nargai Tom, and thank you so much for checking out this small, independent Star Wars podcast. We are so glad you're here. Reach out to us on the socials. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter and Instagram. Email the show, MandoVisionTom@gmail.com. Please be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share this show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. All right, friends, we are back for another exciting installment of this final season of Star Wars The Bad Batch. And let me tell you, it was an action-packed episode and high intensity, high stakes. And I think we know that right from the jump of this episode because the opening score, a little bit modified, it's those darker tones real quick as we transport to Tantus to pick up where we left off with Omega being returned to the custody of Dr. Royce Hemlock and his evil nefarious plans for the Empire. And so we know from the jump, hey, we're in a bad spot. Omega's back on Tantus, the Batch stranded on Pabu, no ship. What are they going to do? So yeah, they ratcheted it up. They drop those heavy tones just, you know, right after that familiar opening of music. And I think that was just like the biggest clue to the audience that get ready, buckle up. And that's what we're doing here today. We're buckled up. We're ready to go. We're strapping on the buckets. We're going to dive right into the episode here pretty quickly. But let's go ahead and get those episode particulars out of the way right now so that we can just dive right into everything. All right. This is Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 12, Juggernaut. Original air date, April 10th, 2024. Obviously, we know the Juggernaut, one of the reasons why they call that this episode, because of the HAVW Juggernaut, a.k.a. the Turbo Tank, that is a primary point of interest in this episode. So there you go. There's your title. There's why it's called that. This episode is written by Ezra Nachman, directed by Stuart Lee. Our voice cast for this week, of course, D. Bradley Baker as the Bad Batch. Michelle Ang is Omega. Ben Diskin is AZ3. Jimmy Simpson is Dr. Royce Hemlock. Jonathan LaPau is Stormtrooper 1 and the Ugnaught. Keisha Castle Hughes is Emery Carr. Matthew Wood is Imperial Driver number 2 and a Stormtrooper. Nasheer Dalal returns as Admiral Rampart. Steve Bloom is the Warden, and Wanda Sykes, of course, returns as Fi Genoa. Our plot for this episode, again, they just put it all out there, okay? While seeking an unexpected source, the Batch must make a daring escape. All right, friends, that's it. Let's go ahead and get into the episode because there's a lot of, much like last week, very action-packed. Not a lot of sound clips to play for you guys this week, which is good. Stay out of trouble for a week. That's fine. All right. So you know what that means, friends. Strap on your buckets. Let's go.
We're stuck here without a ship.
Even if we get our hands on a ship, we still have no way of finding Tantus Space.
That's not exactly true.
Wait. You've known what Tantus is this whole time?
I didn't say I know. There's someone who might have the coordinates.
Who?
Admiral Rampart. He sent Nalase there when we decommissioned to Pulka City.
Why didn't you say anything before?
Because Tantus isn't a place I ever wanted to go back to. And Rampart's not particularly trustworthy. He's a last resort, but he's also our only option.
Where's Rampart now?
I was still in the Empire when they arrested him. He was sent to...
So after the episode opens with Omega's return to Tantus, to the custody of Dr. Royce Hemlock, she is turned over to Emery Carr immediately for confirmation of the blood sample testing that she does possess what they require. And then we cut back to Pabu, and we see the Imperial forces pulling out of Pabu. And, you know, I think that's what we expected, because, again, this is what Omega wanted for the terms of her surrender. But it's nice to see, and this is such a weird standard, but I guess it's nice to see the Empire actually like, honoring that and not just, like, spite burning the place to the ground, which is something that we have seen them do in other mediums, go that route. But now the Batch has to figure out what to do, right? The Empire is leaving. Now they have to figure out how they're going to get the information that they need. And Crosshair is the one who offers up a potential solution to figuring out where Tantus is at. And it was something that he sort of didn't admit right off the bat, you know, when they were asking about Tantus and where to get it. You know, last option, last resort, the trustworthiness of Rampart. There's a lot of sort of, you know, things he lays out here as potential traps, you know, reasons to not go down this road. But I love that Crosshair puts it right on Front Street. He doesn't want to go back. He was not interested in going back to Tantus for anything. And we see him grabbing his hand and making fists with that hand. And again, as we have been speculating for quite some time on the podcast, that whatever's going on with his hand is definitely in his head at this point. And as again, they sort of got to this with Omega, Crosshair learning how to meditate from her, things like that. But again, that trauma is still there. And you know, it's all coming up to the surface now for Crosshair. So just forecasting a little bit here, I would imagine we will start to get to explore some of what Crosshair was put through while prisoner on Tantus. I suspect we will see some of that, the rigors of what they do to you to turn you into one of these CX troopers. So get ready for that, because I bet that's going to be another punch in the gut episode of the show as well. Meanwhile, then Batcher starts barking, growling, not being excited about what's happening. Someone's coming up this little turbo shaft that no one knew was there, and it's Fee and AZ3, and Fee's gonna answer the question we've been asking the last couple of episodes. Go ahead, ask that question, Hunter, so we can get the answer.
How did you get in here unseen?
Use the hidden cavern access when I docked my ship.
We're gonna need to borrow that.
You must be Crosshair. Tech told me all about your sparkling personality.
Is that a no?
Any friend of Brown Eyes is a friend of mine. Where are we headed?
An Imperial labor camp on Erebus.
Ooh, I like this already.
So we're going to an Imperial labor camp on the planet Erebus, which is new for Star Wars. But if you are me and you enjoy Greek mythology, you might be a little familiar with that name. Erebus is the god of a dark region of the underworld and the personification of darkness. He's a primordial Greek god, so sort of like pre-Hades in a sense. So when you kind of put the mythology together, Erebus is something you go through to get to Hades. So in a sense, in this metaphor that I'm constructing here, Tantus is Hades. Erebus is the planet we have to go through first to get there. I think that works, right? Okay, let's get on with it. And I like the first interaction between Fee and Crosshair. I like that we get Fee referring to Tech still as Brown Eyes. And now we have a ship and we have the beginnings of a plan. And yeah, let's just see where it goes from here. And actually, we cut to Erebus. We see the planet for the first time. And it's got a hell-like aspect to it. But this is where we sort of catch up with Rampart. We see his new look, his new prison look, bearded up and working with an Ugnaught, but still the haughty Imperial that we know him to be. I doubt he's been humbled by his experience at all. He still acts like he's in command of the place, which is, at least of the Ugnaught. And an interesting... Again, I was excited to bring Rampart back. I thought maybe his story was done, but it's nice to see that this is the entry point for Clone Force 99 to figure out where Tantus is. This will help kind of bring Rampart full circle. And again, as Crosshair says, I don't think he's trustworthy. I still think he ends up with a blaster hole through his chest at some point during this whole thing. But... I think it is interesting kind of going back to the beginning to get to the end. Again, we're going to be closing all the loops with Star Wars The Bad Batch, or at least as many as possible, unless the rumors are true that there will be another clone series after this. But that's all rumor at this point, and I have no reason to believe that is real. So, yeah, Bearded Rampart, what do you think? Good luck for the guy or not? Meanwhile, back on Pabu... Fee has called in some favors and gotten a map of the labor camp on Erebus, and now it's time to actually form a plan.
Think you can get us close enough to the perimeter undetected?
I know I can. Tricks of the trade. But once you're past the perimeter, they've got guards, sensors, and scouts.
Huh. Give us a real challenge.
Once we hit the ground, we have to tap into the prison data bank and pinpoint Rampart's location.
We can use a terminal at one of the checkpoints.
V, when we acquire the target, we'll calm you for a pickup.
All right, so now we're on the Providence. We're coming out of hyperspace above Erebus. And how are we going to get into the planet? Well, Fee's going to break out that trick of the trade, and it requires cutting the power and plummeting to the surface. And it's awesome. I thought it was super, super cool. I loved the deftness with which Fee operates her ship. I love the cut shots of going to the pedals and the way she's manipulating the stick and all the comms, not the comm systems, but the power, all the power systems for the ship as they are rocketing towards the surface of the planet like a falling star. I thought it was really cool. I did really, really enjoy that aspect of the episode. Fun, fun stuff. And now the Batch, you know, that once they get low enough to the surface to stay below detection, they get dropped off at the base and it's time to infiltrate so they can pinpoint Rampart's location. I love seeing the Batch sneak around this base, and I love what's about to happen in this little clip here, because I LOL'd out loud a lot when I watched it over and over again.
Quiet as usual. Hopefully, next assignment we'll see some action.
Yep. They didn't even see that action coming. That's how much action they were ready for. All right, now we'll cut back. We cut to Rampart at the labor camp, not getting along well with his co-workers, his co-prisoners, and getting loaded up onto the Juggernaut. Now we'll cut back to the Batch as they attempt to locate.
Found him. Rampart's tagged to be transported back to the prison from the mining structure.
The prison's on the other side of this bridge. Our best shot at grabbing Rampart is to intercept them when they're en route from the mine.
Take out a turbo tank? Yeah, now you're talking.
We can't hit it head on. They'll see us coming. Not if we're under it. Follow me.
So in this episode, we also get a lot of callbacks to Star Wars Rogue One and... You know, I think that's definitely by intent. You know, having Erebus obviously reminds us of Erebus, the Juggernaut. It reminds us of Wobami. and Jyn Erso's rescue with the fledgling rebellion. This is designed to remind us of those things because, again, the turbo tank, when Crosshair and Wrecker enter the chamber to free Rampart, again, very reminiscent of Rogue One, which is okay by me because, as you all know, I absolutely love that movie. So any kind of nod to Rogue One is okay by me. Now, as Wrecker and Crosshair have stunned the stormtroopers guarding the prisoners, they'll make their way in to find Rampart. But Rampart recognizes one of them first.
CT-9904?
You remembered. How touching. The target's secured.
The target? What is this? Are you here to kill me?
Tempting. But no.
What about them?
So they're going to make a stop and just release all the other prisoners. That's mighty kind. Who God knows what kind of crimes they committed to be there. Let's pretend that they were falsely imprisoned by the Empire, because this makes me feel better about the situation, and not that they're murderers and intergalactic rapists just being freed on this planet. In case anyone is interested, amongst Rampart and the Ugnaught that we already mentioned, there is a Nimbinel, a Lutrillian, and a Trandoshan. And two transitions, I believe, if memory serves. So I wanted to mention, too, something else I had read on StarWars.com for this episode was that Cool Hand Luke was an influence on this episode. There is nothing in this episode, to me, that Rampart does that is very Cool Hand Luke-ish. There's no egg-eating contest. And, you know, at no point do I feel sympathy for Rampart for the situation that he's in. So I think that's an interesting comment that the team on this episode put out there. And again, maybe there's something I'm missing. I've not watched Cool Hand Luke in probably 20 years. But was there something that you guys, as the audience, maybe saw and reminded you of Cool Hand Luke? Because, yeah, again, no eggs. no eggs at all. And if I'm doing a Cool Hand Luke reference, there's going to be some kind of egg. That's just all I'm saying about that. All right. So let's go ahead and pick up, because the Empire's not just going to let Clone Force 99 get away with one of their prisoners. There is much action about to happen. But first, the Empire has to figure out something's afoot. So now we're going to cut back and to that moment, and we get to meet an Imperial with a beard. Don't see that very often. Imperial with a beard. How about that?
Sir, one of the transports has made an unscheduled stop mid-route.
Run a diagnostic on their comms.
All clear. That should distract the Imperials for a bit.
And what about me?
You're fine right where you are.
If you're not here to execute me and you're not letting me go, then you must need something from me.
Tantus Base. Where is it?
Ah, Tantus. And how much is that information worth, do you?
You're not in a position to bargain.
I disagree. I'll talk. After you get me off this planet. You don't get what you want if I don't get what I want.
We're approaching the bridge. Wrecker, man the cannon.
So, yeah, Rampart has a little bit of leverage here, and he's figured that out pretty quickly. That he's not just going to turn over what he knows about Tantus. He's got to get off the planet, or there's nothing for the Bad Batch to go off of and to find and recover Omega. Now I want to cut back to the Imperial base as they start to figure out what the heck's going on.
Sir, I believe Transport One's comms are being jammed.
What?
The tank's speed is increasing. I think it's been compromised.
Bring up the gunship, seal off the bridge, and reroute Transport Two to intercept.
All right, here we go. Bring on the action, right? I really like this sequence. This is a lot of fun, a lot of good explodies. And yeah, just watch it. And there's a little bit of a reminder, kind of reminds us of back in season two of The Mandalorian, when they're on the run with their giant transport. It's got that feel to it. It's an escape. It's a car chase. It's all those things, but in a very Star Wars fashion. And I think they do a really, really great job of ratcheting up the excitement, the tension. There's a pivotal moment when they're gonna make the jump to Fee's ship, where like you're sort of worried about Wrecker. You're like, wait a second. We've watched one guy, quote unquote, die from Clone Force 99 when doing dangerous things like this. Could Wrecker actually be the next to go? You know, that's got to enter the back of your mind at some point, because again, we've watched him, quote unquote, kill somebody. Maybe to return soon, TBD. But yeah, like they I think they did an excellent job of making us kind of get on the edge of our seat and be concerned about the safety of our heroes here. And so another element of this that I actually really enjoy too is Rampart getting stunned, rendered unconscious, and Wrecker throwing his unconscious body onto Fee's ship. So after the daring escape, after Wrecker makes the jump, now it's time to get the information. And of course, it's not quite as easy as we want it to be. But let's have it.
We got you off the planet. Now tell us where Tantus is.
It's more complicated than that.
Complicated how?
No one knows the coordinates to Tantus. It was designed that way. But I might know how to get around that.
Either you tell us now, or we drop you back in that Imperial prison.
Now, no need for threats. After all, we're in this together.
So, we don't quite know how complicated it's going to be. We don't know those steps. But Rampart's now thrown in his lot with the Batch, so his story's not done yet. And again, I'm waiting for this full circle moment here. I don't think Rampart's joining the Rebellion anytime soon. But he's definitely... Well, you know what? I shouldn't say definitely. Because like maybe he sees Clone Force 99 as an opportunity to get back into the good graces of the Empire here. You know, betrayal might be inevitable, and this might be Crosshair's chance to put a blaster through his chest at some point here when Rampart maybe inevitably attempts to betray them. So that puts a little button on that part of the story. We're going to cut back to Tantus now, where Dr. Hemlock is going to share with Omega just why she's so important, which will confirm a lot of what we know and a lot of what we have been speculating about. So let's go ahead and get that from the doctor's mouth.
Did you know an individual's M-count cannot be directly replicated? Attempts have been made, but each time, the levels degraded. And so we experimented.
Where are you taking me?
The vault. We tried various methods, mixing samples from our other test subjects, yet nothing worked. Until we combined your sample with one of our M-count specimens. You are a vital piece to our work here, Omega.
Who are they?
They are the rest of the puzzle. And this is your new home.
So there it is, confirmation from the doctor's mouth directly that Omega's blood acts as some sort of binder with a high-level M-count blood to keep it from degrading, right? So not necessarily... This is... I don't know, confirmation might be too strong of a word, but it's not necessarily that Omega's blood is high in M count, because again, Ventress said no, but maybe Ventress was lying. But you know, there still may be some low level M count that gets her access to the Force. You know, maybe not quite as low as like a Sabine Wren, but not as high as obviously like an Anakin Skywalker. That is to be determined. So again, we don't know the composition of the blood and what in there makes it so that higher M count specimens don't degrade when mixed. I, you know, again, the science of Star Wars is still a mystery to many of us. But again, as Hemlock says, she's a piece of the puzzle. And the kids, she's in now in the vault with the rest of the kids that we met in the in Emery Carr's episode of the show Identity Crisis, where we met Eva and Jax and the mysterious third child who still remains unnamed. And now Omega is housed with them, and I suspect Omega will be fostering rebellion at some point and aiding Jax's ideas of a grand escape. We'll see how that all shakes out, but that's how the episode ends, darkly, as it has been the case. But yeah, Omega now in the vault with these kids, Force-sensitive kids, potentially. And so maybe that will be something that she can coax out of them to help aid in an escape or rebellion or just doing something cool here in the next couple of episodes. And meanwhile, Clone Force 99 now being aided by Rampart, who will probably inevitably betray them. working on getting to Tantus to rescue Omega. We are rocketing towards the finale of this show. And I couldn't be more excited. This was a great episode. I really did enjoy this one a lot. The action's pretty top-notch. Pretty fun stuff. It's 8.5 buckets, my friends. I'm really big on this one. I think it's a really good episode. Yes, you can make the argument that it's kind of just setting things up. But the action is so top-notch. I love Fee and the ship, rocketing to the surface of the planet. I'd like to see another Imperial labor camp. The Rogue One callbacks, all that stuff's really great. Wrecker's on fire in this episode, spitting out lines and doing all kinds of great action. It's got a lot of the things that I really enjoy about this series in particular, but Star Wars in general. So yeah, 8.5 buckets. This is a fun one. Don't think of it as just like a filler or a setup episode. No, my friends. This has got a lot of good stuff. And then obviously you have those moments back on Tantus. Omega reuniting with Emery Carr and Emery being changed since the last time these two characters were together. Emery, now having access to the vault, probably questioning a lot of things, right? And then telling Omega, for what it's worth, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're safe, you know? And Emery's story is not done yet. Will she side with the Empire ultimately? Or will she help Omega and these children? There's a lot going on here. And then obviously now we've connected Omega with Eva and Jax and the other girl. And yeah, like, yes, it's setting a lot of stuff up, but I do not want this to be called a setup episode. No. The action in this episode drives the story forward, and I'm here for it. 8.5 buckets. This is good stuff, my friends. All right, and that does it for our podcast this week. Thank you so much for checking out our show. Truly, truly appreciate it. This is the Mandovision Podcast, and I am your host, Nargai Tom. Reach us on social media. We're at Mando_Vision on Twitter, a.k.a. X, and Instagram. Email the show, mandovisiontom@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share this show with all the Mandalorians in your covert. If your podcasting platform allows it, sweet, sweet, sweet 5-star reviews truly help out the show more than you can possibly imagine, specifically against the tyranny of the algorithm. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, Star Wars fans, go out there. Be great Star Wars fans. Bring in more Star Wars fans. They should be watching these shows, you know? They only want to wait for the live-action stuff. They're missing out on so much good quality entertainment. Get them on board. The Bad Batch is now happening. Get them in it before it ends. Don't tell them in 3 years they got to watch it because this is going to connect them to the next live-action show. That's too late. Get them now. Anyways, go out there. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And we'll be back next week to talk about more exciting Star Wars The Bad Batch developments. And of course, we'll pop in as needed if any breaking Star Wars news comes out, trailers, news, casting stuff, anything in the world of Star Wars, we will try to be here for it. And again, we're also rocketing towards May the 4th be with you. That's going to be a big day. New Tales of the Jedi coming out. So a lot to be excited about. And that means the Acolyte is like right around the corner, friends. So it's going to be great. Buckethead Nation, you are the best. You're the best fans out there, best supporters out there. and the best Star Wars fans out there. All right, Bucketheads, we'll be back next week. But remember, this podcast can only end one way. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I suppose you'll be heading out.
I'm not.
You should.
It's against the creed. I gave you my word. I'm with you until we both fall.
You really buy into that bent of fodder?
I do.
Good.